Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Mind Yourself podcast in association with Motus. So with our mini series on a career in psychology, we're now moving out of the realm of clinical psychology and into something slightly different. After completing her undergrad in UCD, my next guest decided to pursue a master's in sports psychology at the University of Limerick. And I'm very happy that she's joining us today. Welcome to the podcast, Rebecca Hare. How are you today?
Hello. Good. Thank you.
So I'm going to jump straight into Rebecca and ask you a first question, which is why did you decide to go for a master's in sports psychology?
I'd love to say it was a very clear, direct path and answer, but like many things in my life, it wasn't. So basically, coming out of lockdown, even during lockdown, I really took up a really keen interest in exercise and its benefits towards mental health. And I found for me as a coping mechanism, I was incredibly anxious over the lockdown period. And exercise was definitely some sort of a release or something I could actually control during the pandemic. So reflecting on it, like I definitely relied on it a lot. And I think I've always had an interest in it and natural remedies towards, like, you know, at being anxious and things like that. So I definitely have always had an interest in exercise, but never saw myself actually pursuing a career down that line. I was always quite sporty, but not necessarily competitive. And I think that's what scared me off about the masters. Mm. I thought sports psychology is definitely like you're only working with teams, like it's very competitive in nature and I have to be an expert on all sports, which I definitely am not. Yeah. So the one in the University of Limerick, which is the one I did, was called Sports, Exercise and Performance Psychology. And I think that's what really attracted me to it, because I didn't think it was going to be so focused on the sports kind of team aspect, but rather it was inclusive of exercise and performance psychology as well. And before even starting it, I didn't even realize that exercise psychology was actually kind of a field in itself. And it's relatively new, but it's definitely more so focused on the kind of science and the neuroscience behind and the benefits of exercise. So I think that's why I went into it, mainly because I had no idea what I was doing post-COVID. But also, I think the important thing to do is follow your current interests. And at that time, that is something I really kind of wanted to understand more.
Okay. So, yeah, I would assume a lot of people would think that when they hear sports psychology, they think specifically applying psychology to athletes and athletic performance. But as you mentioned, there's a well-being aspect of the importance of exercise to well-being. The course itself, is it structured in a way that it's kind of 50-50 down the middle, or is there that kind of overemphasis on the performance side of things, or is it quite balanced?
I think, to be honest, it's definitely the material is presented in a way that, you know, this is the material and you definitely can kind of take your own perspective on it, which I really liked. A lot of people in my course actually were very alike to me in terms of kind of being more interested in the health promotion side of things and the well-being, which I was quite surprised about. But there were also equally people who were very interested in kind of the performance on the pitch aspect as well. So I do think it was very balanced.
Okay. And I don't know, can you answer this? Are there any other sports psychology masters available in Ireland, do you know? Or is it only maybe the UK?
When I was looking at it, now this again was kind of last year, not really, not in terms of the sports exercise and performance psychology aspect or direct, you know, sports psychology. The only other place I believe is Queen's up in Belfast. They do it as well in Queen's University. And then my friend actually has gone over to London to pursue it as well, because London is like the main influencer of it.
Okay. And then we actually spoke about this before we started recording, but can you refer or think back to when you first applied? What was the application process? How quick did you find out? And then can you just explain a bit about the start of the course, like what that was like? Sorry, three questions in one.
I'll try my best to answer. It is a bit of a confusing process, only because the University of Limerick, because this is such a niche course, and one of the only ones in Ireland, they have two rounds of acceptance. So essentially, you can either get into the September to September masters for it, or you can get into the January to December acceptance of it. So because I applied a little bit late, because I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I actually did the January to December running of it. But in terms of the application process itself, it's essentially just like any other course, except you do have to kind of rely on your personal statement as well. So kind of your reason why you wanted to do it. And I remember mine was just so focused on how much I loved exercise and everything like that. And then essentially you just had to get at least a second class honours, I believe, in your exams and then send those on. And I think I found out within 3 or 4 months, I believe. Okay. And then it's kind of straight into it after that.
Okay. And third question then is, once you started then, did you move down to Limerick or did you stay in Dublin?
I actually did, which was a really nice experience. But it was my first time leaving home, to be honest. So again, after lockdown, that was like so much to happen at once. But yeah, to be honest, you probably don't necessarily need to for the course, which is something that I only realized going down there. It's very much kind of independent learning, and we were only in kind of 2 full days. So they were quite heavy days, Monday and Tuesday, and then the rest was kind of at your own will, kind of the independent learning aspect. But in saying that, a lot of people came down and just paid and not for a night in the travel lodge, yeah, instead of actually moving down there. And I would say from hearing from my friends as well, a lot of other masters aren't as kind of lecture heavy in terms of how much time you have to be in college. So mm-hmm. I think that's just something to note as well. It wasn't necessarily, you know, the undergrad experience, but it was interesting.
Okay. Did you like Limerick? Okay, good to hear. And then moving on to like content, like modules wise, anytime I've asked anybody this, they kind of panic because they can't remember. But could you just recall some of the modules that you did during the masters?
Yeah, I actually find I kind of recall them quite easy just because I genuinely had an interest in basically all of them, which was really weird because you'd think a lot of them again would be quite sports heavy or kind of competitive. But like we learned all sort of things. Like we did a work and well-being module because that's kind of where sports psychology is going at the moment in terms of the corporate field. It's very focused on kind of motivation and things like that. We also did a applied positive psychology module, which I absolutely loved. And again, that's a very up and coming field in psychology and very modernized as well. And then we did like, I forget what the module was called, motor cognition. And basically just in terms of the kind of literally the movement and the action planning behind, you know, sports and rehabilitation, which I thought was really interesting as well. And then kind of, you know, we did the exercise psychology then aspect as well and mental health. So you really got a taste of everything in it and performance psychology itself as well, which is really interesting.
Okay. And dissertation wise then, how did that process work? Did you have to find your own lecturer to supervise you, or how did that work?
So yes, essentially we're still in the process of it now, and I'm sure everyone can agree dissertations are just, you know, there's something else. Yeah. But basically in UL how it works is, well, in my course in particular, because I did it from January to December, essentially the first semester is lectures and it's quite lecture heavy. Then you have a summer semester, which is even weirder because it takes place for basically 2 really intense or 3 really intense full weeks during the summer. And then essentially you have kind of 2 months off to prep for this dissertation, which essentially you basically, I think it was the first semester, we got a list of topics that people might be potentially interested in and assigned a supervisor. And then you put your preferences, or you met with the supervisors and discussed it or expressed your interest. And then they could either, you know, take you on or not. So they definitely varied in terms of the topics. Again, if you're not too interested in the sports psychology, there was a lot of coach kind of dyad dissertations, or there was a lot of exercise psychology and mental health, which is the one I kind of veered towards. There were also some health psychology thrown in there as well. And then essentially during the summer, then you prep for this semester, which I'm currently in now, and this is just writing up your dissertation. And you can either do it as fast as your supervisor wants you to, or as slow. So the one that I'm doing is focused on kind of a new field of positive mental health. So currently there's barely any research in the area. So the idea is to try and get it out there as soon as we can, But again, it's positive mental health in relation to physical activity and sedentary behavior. So it's kind of, you wouldn't think that would be in a sports psychology master's, but it is anyway.
Okay. And would I be right in saying, I know this from experience, that like researchers from the PEDS building, they really, really push for quick publications, but definitely publications. So I'm assuming that a lot of the master's supervisors would be pushing you for publication as well?
Yes, that's currently why. So essentially all my other mates have until December, but ours is kind of pushed for the next few weeks. So we had to work more on it over the summer. But definitely, because I think sports psychology in itself at the moment, and physical science and, you know, anything at the moment is really, really interesting and also kind of up and coming. So especially in PEZ, they're definitely looking for more publications, which makes sense. But the kind of time period of trying to get things done is incredible as well.
Yeah. And then is there much overlap then with your master's cohort and let's say sports science or even like exercise teaching? Is there overlap there, or are you kind of all independent?
Sports science, I believe we shared probably one or two modules with them, but not all of them. So a few of them are different, and it's also different kind of years are kind of in them as well. So that was kind of nice because you got to meet new people as well, but also kind of hear new perspectives on some of the stuff we were learning as well, which was really good.
Okay. And then in relation to like future professions, I have two questions here. I'll ask one first. From your cohort, were there more people who were inclined to be going towards a job in, let's say, like a clinical sports psychologist, or were there more delving towards, let's say, like a research based role, or was it quite mixed?
Definitely, I would say a mixed bunch. And I would tell you that that's probably because a lot of people changed their minds during the master's. Because obviously you learn about accreditation kind of pathways. But in addition to that, you also had people who actually didn't have a psychology degree. So probably what I should mention is that you can go into that course, that master's in particular, without a psychology degree, but you just don't get the same degree when you come out of it. So people from sports science, for example, who had done that as an undergraduate, went into this master's, but they're not going to get the same accreditation as myself or anyone else who did psychology. They'll be getting kind of a different one. I forget what the name is. But it's essentially the same thing. We learned the same things, but I have a psychology background and they didn't. So I think in saying that, they're kind of looking at different jobs to what we would be looking at. And even in terms of me coming out of this, I'm not a sports psychologist by kind of title. A lot of people can call it that themselves, that purely because there's a problem kind of, you know, in a lot of psychological fields at the moment with people being able to call themselves things without actually having the degree or the research to back them up. But in sports psychology, what I'd have to do if I wanted to do that, from what I understand, is I have to leave the degree and do 3 years of kind of supervised experience and then apply through certain kind of organizations to become the sports psychologist. And again, because I don't see myself as that competitive or kind of like as beneficial to teams as I would be kind of towards the health promotion aspect or the well-being, I think for me, I think I'll just kind of go down a different route and use what I've learned in different careers, I think.
Okay. I'm smiling here because we had Kira Losty, who is a sports psychologist, on the podcast last season, and she went on a like small rant about the issue that like the accreditation's not very clear, and a lot of people claim that they are they're sports psychologists when they have no qualification at all.
And it's so easy to do, like it is. Like you could say it and you just have an interest in it. Like it's crazy. Yeah.
And that's the issue, like the general public don't know the difference then as a result. That's definitely an issue. So you mentioned then, Rebecca, that you don't want to go down the path of sports psychologist. So did the masters kind of help you better understand what you want to do and what is that career path kind of looking like?
Oh God, that's like the $1 million question. I'm sure my mom would love to know as well. But I think, to be honest, it was the perfect course for the time I was in. And I think a lot of people that I kind of did it with who had the same perspective as me would agree. I also think what you learn in that course is so applicable to so many different fields. Like, I actually took up such an interest in the way that we can kind of apply sports psychology to educational fields. And then I also took up an interest in terms of how the corporate world can see it as well. And I was on a webinar the other night while listening to one about a panel of sports psychologists or performance psychologists and where they've gone with the careers. And I think it's just so diverse. And a lot of them also didn't go for the accreditation, and they're kind of doing motivational talks, or they're working with companies or kind of the corporate side of it, or they're working kind of looking after the mental health of teams. And mental skills in particular is something we learn a lot about. And that at the moment is becoming like gold dust to certain teams and companies as well. Because, you know, your mind is your biggest weapon. And if you're able to tone in on it and kind of understand it more, then you're going to be able to perform better. And that's not on a pitch as such as in terms of blocking out distractions of the crowd and the audience. It's also in your day-to-day life and being able to be more productive because you're able to do that. So I think it's definitely a course that you're going to learn so much from, and it's applicable to anything.
Do they give you specific career guidance in the course? Is that discussed, or is it kind of just get it done and then decide after?
I think they do kind of plant seeds along the way. And I think when we're discussing certain things, they say, and this is where you could use this in terms of like a future career direction, but it's not necessarily a module in itself, which it probably could be because you're covering three different fields of psychology in the one master's.
Yeah.
But I also think it's just because it's too vast and broad, to be honest, like literally you could use it anywhere.
Do you think then, though, Rebecca, is that because there's kind of a little bit of, because it's so new, there's a bit of disorganization there? Or do you just think that it'll always be disorganized because it's so vast?
I think the one that I've done, because it's not pure sports psychology, it's sports, exercise and performance fields of psychology. Okay. It's always going to be incredibly vast. And in terms of how up and coming and kind of modern this perspective of different companies and the corporate world and also the health promotion world are kind of seeing it, it's going to be used in even more careers as the years go on. Especially because people are now focusing on kind of natural remedies for mental health issues or problems. So the more careers that are going to look for it are going to grow over the years. So I do think it's always going to be just like everything in life. It's all going to be a bit disorganized. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fun. But I also think with kind of time and with direction as well, when you can see which way the course and people from the course are going, they'll be able to provide more direction on it.
Okay, good answer. Two questions left, but they're quite big questions, Rebecca, so you don't have to answer straight away. You can have a think about it. The first one is a bit easier. What advice would you give to somebody who is just starting the UL Masters in sports psychology? Just basically, let's say they just started now or they might be starting next September. What advice would you give them?
Okay, in terms of saving yourself some money, I would advise you to not, as long as things don't change, to not necessarily purchase accommodation or rent accommodation. I would advise you to do the Travelodge job and just, there's, you know, stay there a night. Anywhere. And there's none available, exactly. You could even drive up every day if you wanted to, like I did the odd time. I would also advise them not to hold back, especially in terms of getting stuck into the material and kind of viewing it from a different lens, I think is really important. I think in everything in psychology, being able to see how it can be applicable to so many different things is really important. So to be open-minded, I think, is a really good quality to have throughout life anyway. And I also would just think, you know, get to know the others, because at the end of the day, connections are vital and connections are going to get you anywhere, especially in that field, because it's quite a small field anyway. And I think you're going to learn a lot from other people, but you're also going to be social and you're also going to gain a lot probably in the future just because, you know, you've established those connections.
Yeah. Good. Again, good, great advice. And then the last thing is, I've asked this to everybody who we've had on for this season. Somebody who is just starting the undergraduate in psychology. Let's say they've just started it this September or starting next year or want to do it. What advice would you give to that student?
See, the student I was when I started the undergraduate was someone who had no idea what they were doing. And I still think I've taken a bit of that into my master's. Like, I started in a different course. I started in social science. And it was only when I was in social science that I decided, you know what, I actually want my second choice, which was psychology. So I transferred over. And I think, to be honest, that was a good kind of, that made me sure that I wanted to do it. And I think, again, be really open-minded with the material you learn, because I didn't really believe psychology until I got into it, which is really bad to say, but it's so true. I think from doing it now, I've been more trustworthy of the research if they kind of back it with a bit of neuroscience. Yeah. I definitely think the science aspect to it is really important, because, again, I'm sure everyone would find, if they have any knowledge of psychology or anything, it's really hard to convince other people it's real or it's true. Like, honestly, they think you're lying to them. And I was that person they were trying to convince. So I think kind of knowing your stuff and not being airy fairy with it. You know, if it sounds airy fairy, look into it a bit more, and also like kind of look more into the stuff you're interested in, because it's not only going to benefit yourself. It might actually benefit other people down the line. And at least if you actually know what you're talking about, you're not giving ill advice. You're actually giving good advice. So I think to be aware of that, but also to be aware that you're not telepathic and you're not a psychologist by nature until you get that accreditation. So don't be pretending you are. But I think it's always good. Like, even I work up in a place that we have such a diverse range of kind of people from different careers and career perspectives. And it's so interesting having like conversations where you can offer different insights and different perspectives. And I think psychology in particular is one of those ones that you can talk to anyone about it. And it's going to benefit you in any career you go into, because you're always going to be talking to people, you're always going to be connecting, and you're always going to have a brain yourself. So it's better to know a bit more about it.
Perfect. And I think we will end it there, Rebecca. Thank you so much for coming on. Really, really insightful about the master's course, and also for good advice for any psychology student coming up. So